I have a message for you, but I want to speak from my heart as well this morning. Because as your pastor, I care about what you receive and what you know. It's very important for your life, not only my life, but your life. And if your life gets better, it makes my life a lot better. But when you're a pastor and you've pastored for quite a few years and you keep seeing the same thing over and over again of how the enemy attacks your people and does his best to overtake them and to destroy them and their works, it gives you a desire and a craving within you to really seek God with everything that's within you to give an answer for your people. And it says over there in Isaiah, it says, who will seek to consider my people who die before their time? When they go through things and they don't live the fullness of their life and their call that God has for them. And we always seem to think that a calling is sometimes just ministry calling. But listen, there's a ministry that we all have. We were called into the kingdom of God to promote the Lord Jesus. And so every one of us have a calling in our life. Maybe not a specifically fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. But there's some other areas in our life we've been called to minister to people about the life that you find in Jesus. And you want everyone in your church to amplify the person that the Lord is, because it's so important. So if you will, I want us to open up to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we don't have time to read the whole book, but I want to read some specific scriptures that have quite a bit meaning. And when I visit people in my body that are going through literal hell, and you hear them cry out and say, why? You know, what is it that gives the enemy permission to do what he's doing? And your heart cries out. God, give me an answer for them. Because we're living in a falling world. And we're seeing God's people go through literal hell. And that disturbs me as a minister of the gospel. You know, I'm not bragging or anything. But you know, our life has had some hellish moments. But right now, I'm enjoying life. And I'm enjoying it with my wife. And I'm enjoying my ministry and I'm enjoying you. And you know, if I was to die tomorrow, at least when I stand in the presence of the Lord, I could say, Lord, you gave me a wonderful family. You gave me a wonderful wife. And you gave me a wonderful church full of wonderful people. And Father, forgive me for falling short of giving them what they need, but I know my responsibility is to see to it that I put something into your soul, because I have to give an accountable to that, an account. And so this morning, I want to share some things from my heart, because it grieves me to see God's people go through what they're going through and then ask me why. And you begin to think within yourself, Father, don't they hear the word? Don't they listen? What is it that I could give to them that would truly help them out of the confusion that they seem to be in? And so this morning, I want to share some things with you that I think will help you a little bit to really stop asking the questions of why. And begin to take your place that you inherited in Christ to offer resistance for what happens to you in this life. You know, I'm human just like you. You know, the devil don't leave me alone. I'm going to tell you that right now. He don't leave me alone. But I tell you what, if I'm going to lead you, I have to offer resistance to him to be the example for you. Amen? And so every step you take, you get closer to God. You do for the purpose of you. Not just me, but you. You know? When I lay my head down at night and I thank the Lord for all that He's done, I wish the same thing for you. I wish that you would lay your head down at night and thank the Lord for all that He's done for you. Because that would give me no greater pleasure than to know that what I could have shared with you give you that same position. God is so good. He is so good. But in Colossians chapter 1, let's start reading at verse 9. We're going to do a little reading here. I'll go as slow as I can. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. That is the prayer that I always have for you. And that word for knowledge there is epinosis. It means a knowledge that is on top of natural knowledge. And He says, of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is a very interesting verse because He talks about two types of wisdom in this particular verse. Not one type, but two types. Then He gives you a wisdom that's identified to what you are spiritually. So He says that you be filled with His will in all wisdom and in spiritual understanding or spiritual wisdom. So you have a natural wisdom and then you have a spiritual wisdom. That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the epinosis of God. That's knowledge upon natural knowledge. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Isn't that interesting? He puts joy right behind patience. Patience and long suffering. Thanks a lot, God. Behind patience and long suffering, we're to have great joy. Okay, whatever. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. In the light. Do you know that the Bible says, according to Proverbs 4:18, that the lamp of the righteous grows brighter and brighter and brighter. Now watch this. He has delivered us from the powers of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And that word for love there is agape. And so He's translated us into the kingdom of the Son in His love. Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That if God has given us the authority over the powers of darkness, then the position that He's put us in because of that is His love for us. Hallelujah. Now, it does not say in this verse, it does not say that He has delivered us from the authority of man. He has not delivered us so that we can rule over the will of other people. Right. He said He has delivered us from the powers. The word of powers there in the Greek is the word exousia. It's authority. Right. And you and I have been delivered from the authority of darkness because He put us into His kingdom called love. Amen. And so when you hear God's people say, why am I going through so much hell? Doesn't God really care? Doesn't He really know? Does He have a deaf ear to what we're going through? And then the very next thing they say, I love Him. I love the Lord so much. I just know one thing, to hang in there. And your heart goes out to someone like that because you have an answer for them. But the answer that you have for them can't go through the darkness that the enemy has put into their thinking. It says the God of this world blinds their minds lest they see the light of the glorious gospel. I've seen it where people have been so bound up by the enemy. And I shared some things from the Word of God about being delivered from the power of darkness. And I seen their eyes in darkness light up. And instantly made a difference in their life. Because they heard something that finally gave them an answer that they don't have to be going through the crap that they go through. I'm sorry I used that word. And then I've seen them change their life. I've seen them totally change and go the other way. Simply because they got a revelation that God has done something for them in His love. And the first thing that the love of God does is He gives you authority, not over man. He gives you authority over the powers of darkness. That's good news. Now, wouldn't it have been nice if he said, also, people who disturb you, people who bother you, people who trespass your life? Wouldn't it be nice if God also delivered us from that? Now, I'm going to tell you something, people. The church has been delivered from the power of darkness. But one thing it does not say here is that we've been delivered from the influence of Him. Wouldn't it have been nice, he said, and also the influence of the power of darkness. That ain't going to happen, Jack. Now watch what he goes on to say. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So when you've seen God, you've seen Jesus, because Jesus is the image and the expression of what God is. Somebody said, oh, if I could just see God, look at Jesus. Well, I can't even see Him. Look at Scripture and you will see Him in Scripture. You will see His character and His nature and His love in Scripture. For by Him are all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Amen. Now the word preeminence is a very interesting word. It means to have first place in everything. To hold the highest dignity, to have the greater influence. To hold the highest dignity in our life and to have the highest preeminence. Do you know what that means? It means no matter what hell you're going through, if you look to Jesus in the kingdom of His love, you've got to realize that when He says you have been delivered from the authority of darkness, then He has to have preeminence over everything that you're going through. You have to know that He's there for you, and He doesn't want you to go through what you're going through. And so He puts you in a position that you wouldn't have to do that. What position was that? You're not under His authority. He's under your authority. Well, then why are things happening the way? Because He blinds your minds from seeing the light of the glorious gospel. Why? Because they do not believe. That's what you got to focus in on. If he's going to have the preeminence, if he's going to hold the highest position with the greatest influence, then what he says over what the enemy says should have a greater influence on you than what he's doing. Now, notice what he said here, that he would have the greater influence, the preeminence, the first place, the priority. Now, with that thought in mind, turn over to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. And I hope that when you leave here today, that you would say to yourself, oh me, oh my, what have I been putting up with? In Proverbs 22, we had child dedication today. Let's go to verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Now, whenever John and I or any minister of this place goes someplace and visits you and we're to pray for you and we know that you're going through things, there's nothing wrong with us doing that. Right. But what grieves our heart is what you should not be going through. That bothers us. We don't walk away and say, well, we hope the prayer will work for him and we're out of our way. We're constantly thinking, what more can we do to receive from God so that we can help God's people? Not just to pray away an influence of the devil, but to pray the devil out of their life to where he can't even come back with the influence. And the only way you can do that is give them knowledge. Give them something that they can work with to get rid of the darkness in their thinking and put light in there. Come on, people, you're happy today because I'm preaching real good. Now, notice it says here, train up a child. What a revelation. Train up a child. You know why a lot of kids are in the mess they're in today? Because the children... Because the parents quit training the children. You got to train your children. It says, train up a child. The word train, are you ready? To train up, when you're training up a child, you are placing down a personal foundation of priority. That's what training up a person means. It means to lay a foundation in them of priorities. Of priorities. What is priority? Now, when we see God's people going through literal hell that they don't have to go through, then the first thing I always ask them, and maybe some of you will think back when I visited you, and I said, the first thing I want to know is, what is your spiritual upbringing about? And so some will tell me, until I came to the light, my upbringing was Catholicism. My upbringing was Methodist. My upbringing, and when they tell me that their upbringing was a certain background of information for me, I begin to realize unless the leadership of the background of where they grew up to begin with was a training for them so that they, when they grow up in God, they would not even consider leaving Him. Because look at what the rest of this verse says. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he wrong, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. He will never turn away. Why? Because you've raised him with the proper priorities in his life so that when he reaches the age of accountability, he'll stay in the right way. Now, that doesn't mean because children always have their own will. But it's good to lay a good foundation in them in spite of them. Because they can always reflect back on what is right from what is wrong. Now, You know, how many can admit Solomon was great in wisdom? How many of you know that there was none wiser than Solomon? Except for who? Jesus. And Jesus even said, I'm wiser than Solomon. Jesus is the absolute wisdom of God. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen to that. Hallelujah. Now, if we're going to train up a child in the way that he should go, so that when he's even old, he will not depart from it. That's very interesting. Because, I'm going to tell you something right now, people. When you grow up in the Lord, you should grow up as a little child until you enter into a state of what we call maturity, so that you can do the work of the ministry. Which tells me, from the time that you're born again till the time you're matured, you should have had a prioritized life being instructed to you. Now, I didn't follow the exact priorities. I actually stumbled on them by accident, simply because I made a decision to let God choose my mentors. And back at that time, the Word of God didn't have the freedom that it has now. That was 43, 44 years ago. Today, the Word of God has a freedom because the Word is starting to magnify itself, and even religious people don't know what to do about it, except talk against it. So, I call five areas that you have to look at. So if you have pencil, paper, write them down. These are five important areas that training up a child requires out of the Word of God. And I don't have time to go into all the scripture references to each one, but I can have you write them down, and then you can look up the scripture references yourself. But first of all, the first thing that is a very priority in your life through the Word of God is to get yourself under control and out of the way. That's where the Word of God comes in and nails you with priorities. The first priority is God wants you. God wants you to know something about where you're at. You have to locate yourself. Because nobody, I don't care who preaches the best sermon on planet Earth, if you don't get a hold of yourself and your natural man rules more than your inner man, I got news for you. It doesn't matter. You can have the best sermon on the place here, but that sermon won't do you any good unless you know how to apply it to your life. And your outward man could be your number one problem. Especially when you come into the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's just like a little child when they came into the kingdom of God. How much are you going to depend upon them to bring you money that you're not working for? Now I have this little kid. Now go out and make me a living. You know what you, if a person thought that, you'd think, you're crazy. How can you expect that little child to go make you a living? It ain't big enough to even have a bottle in its mouth. You have to put the milk in there. You know, when I was in Russia, there was one little girl that stood out among all of them. And these little kids in Russia, during a worship service, they can dance. They dance their hearts out. Remember that, Debbie? When Debbie was there with me when we went on one journey. Remember those little kids? They were dancing, and there was a little blonde girl there. And she was dancing, but she had these Coke bottle glasses. Remember that? And she stood out. And I went up to one of the elders of the church during the worship service. I said, she's different. What is it about her? She just glowed. And she says, she said, I'm adopting her. I went, oh. Does she want prayer for her eyes? And she says, she's a miracle. She can finally see. And I said, really? And you know what? You know what her background was? Her parents had her so that she could give them money. Because communism would take care of you and your children. And so the more children you had, the more income you had. And so when communism went out, you know what they did with the children? They disregarded them. And this little girl, remember Debbie? She was kept in a closet. And once in a while when they thought about her, they'd throw her some dog food. She became undernourished and it started affecting her eyes. She started, couldn't see. And so her parents wanted to just get rid of her. Because she had no value to them no more. Many of the parents were like that, weren't they, Debbie? They're all those little kids. They were just, it was horrible. And so they brought her out, put her in an orphanage. And then one day, Karen went to the orphanage and saw this little girl. Prayed for her and her eyes were starting to be restored. She had a little weight on her. Beautiful little blonde gal. Just sweet as can be. And she's seen light. I see light. We don't want that for our children. We don't want to expect them to have children to make a living for us. But we want our children to be raised to be examples unto the Lord. And to share some wonderful truths of a world that's dying and don't have any way to be reached. And so how important it is for us to make sure that we know what it means to train up children. You know, I'm not saying all children are going to go the right way. Some people, I wind them up and wind them tight and I set them down and hoping that they just go off in one direction. But no, they go everywhere else other than the one where you set them, you know. You know, that's not up to us, but it's up to us to make sure that we point them in the right direction. So the first priority is to get yourself under control and out of the way, which would mean the second step you need to take is to get our enemy under control. To get the enemy under control in our life. And then the third priority is to perfect our fellowship with each other. And the fourth one is to develop for our calling. And the fifth one is to enter our ministry. John, would you like to type these notes out for everybody? Okay, John's going to do it. Number one, to get ourselves under control and out of the way. Number two, to get our enemy under control. Number three, to perfect our fellowship. Number four, to develop our calling. And the fifth one is to enter our ministry. Now, I wish I had time to go into all five of these, but this is what we call being prioritized, training up. And when I came into the kingdom of God, simply because I didn't know which way to go or who to hear or what to believe in, God spoke to me and said, I will lead you to the mentors I want you to hear from. And it wasn't always a convenient person for me to take hold of. But God said, follow their anointing. Follow their example. And so I learned to do that and trust in it. Thank God I did. Now, I want to share something with you people that's very important. Turn over to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. In verse 13, my son, eat honey, because it is good. Eat honey, because it is good. And the honeycomb, which is sweet to your taste. How many of you ever done that? I have. Now watch what follows. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul, if you have found it. There is a prospect and latter end of your hope will not be cut off. The New Living Testament says, in the same way, wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you will find it, you will have a bright future and your hopes will not be cut short. Isn't that good news? But it talks about wisdom. And Paul says that when we came, we didn't want to preach the wisdom of this world. And I've known, and even in our church, I've seen people that have wisdom and follow, and people would follow them, but the wisdom that they were carrying was the wisdom of the world, not of God. And they took it as the wisdom of God. Listen, the wisdom of God doesn't come through men. The wisdom of man has been here ever since the fall. But the wisdom of God hasn't. Now, I want us to turn to John 16. John chapter 16. I'm going to show you something. Might be real enlightening to you. It sure was me. I thought I knew all there was to know about the Holy Ghost. I thought I knew everything. But when I started reading this, even from the Greek, I was a little surprised at some of the wording. So let's start with verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of what? However, when he, the Spirit of what? Has come. He will guide you into all truth. Now, this word guide here is a very interesting word. It is referring to someone who knows a territory that you know nothing about. You have no idea what that territory is about. You haven't the ghost of a knowledge. But you do know that you have to either move into that territory to a specific place, which in this case, that would be heaven. And in order for you to get there, you need a guide to show you how to get there. And that's what this word guide means. It means that the Holy Spirit, when He comes, who is the Spirit of truth, He will guide you into all truth. And listen, all truth is not known by natural man. All truth is known by the mind of God. And you need someone to guide you into that truth. And then he goes on to say, for he will not speak on his own initiative or authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. For he will glorify me. For he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So what he's saying here is that when wisdom comes, it comes in the form of the Holy Spirit. And you know what his job is? To guide you into what is truth. Why? So that your path will get brighter and brighter. Because the way of darkness, men don't know at what they stumble over. So you and I have a guide that can guide us into all truth called the wisdom of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he will take of mine and show it unto you. Thank God Jesus was the wisdom that I should follow. Woo! That's good news. Good news. Why is that such good news? Real wisdom. Follow me. I wrote this down because, man, when it hit me, I wanted to write it down for you. And I'll have John type this out for you. Okay? Real wisdom comes when the Spirit of God reaches down to meet the searching mind of man. But the mind of man must search before God will come to meet him. That's what's being said here in John 16. Wisdom is not for the mentally lazy, even although it is a gift of God. Are you going to be glad that John's going to write this down for you? See, what people want is they want to serve light in darkness. You can't serve light in darkness. It's impossible. Because darkness will always give way to light. But when people try to live in darkness so that they can walk in the light, that's crazy. Oh, I know you guys are getting something here. Hosea 4:5 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Turn over there to Hosea 4:5. Gosh, I hate going in the Old Testament because I don't have things marked out in there like I do the New Testament. And by the way, that's when I made my mind up. I'm going to search out the New Testament before I even get to the Old Testament. Because I'm going to tell you something. You can't understand the Old Testament until you understand the mind of the New Testament. Because you have no business taking the mind of the Old Testament and try to put it in the New. That's crazy. You have to take the mind of the New Testament to put it in the Old. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. I've tried it. Because, boy, I'll tell you, without the mind of Christ, and I get in that Old Testament, there's some things that goes on there. I don't know, what in the world? I mean, to the natural stupid mind, you're sitting there saying, God did that? Well, over here in the New Testament, it says something different. You got it, Jack. You have to understand it here before it makes sense here. Somebody came up and just said, "Thank God I've been delivered from the law." I said, "Would you explain that to me? I no longer have to go by the Ten Commandments." "Really? You mean you can covet? What do you mean? You can lust after things?" Well, you know what I mean. Oh, you mean you can have another man's wife? You mean you can bear false witness now that you've been delivered from the Ten Commandments? Well, no, that's not what I mean. What do you mean? I shut a minister off because we got an argument about the law. He said, God gave them the law for them to keep. I says, well, it says over there, if they violated the law, God killed them. I never could figure that one out. God, they violated the law and you killed them. But over in the New Testament, it says they couldn't live by the law. They even tried, and if they could live by it, then the righteousness would come by the law. Then why did you kill them over here? He says, you got to read before and after. So I read before, and I read after. And the reason that he killed them is because they rebelled against the law. They didn't agree with it. Did you know they could agree with the law, but they couldn't keep it? As long as they agreed with it, God gave them mercy. But if they willingly rebelled against it, God snuffed them. Well, how's the love of God fit in that? I'll tell you how the love of God fits in that. Because he would rather lose one or two rather than the 4 million. And that picture is also in 1 Corinthians, by the way. We won't get in there. Because when we get into talking about the love of God, which we're doing on Wednesday night, that is the hardest area. I'm learning it's the hardest area to deal with, because when you discover the law of God, then you clearly understand why God does not want you to walk in darkness, but in light. I was sharing with my body a Wednesday night about this grandfather clock we have at our house. Some of you have seen it when you come. And so all of a sudden, the weights got weird. And the two outer weights stayed up and the middle weight kept going down. And I rolled it back up. And of course, Sue said, "Well, it's because you mess with the clocks all the time." Sorry, Sue. And I said, "Well, I'm as gentle as I can be." "No, you're not gentle. You gotta talk to the clocks. You gotta wind him slowly." I found out she was right. But anyway. So I decided to go to the clock place, and for her birthday, I was gonna get her clock fixed. Little did I know that, is she really worth that much money? No. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. That was flesh. Anyway. So I get to the clockmaker's shop. And sure enough, he looked like Geppetto. Anyway. I said, we got a clock that needs repairing. And he said, oh. He says, well, tell me the symptoms. So when I told him the symptoms, I says, is it a horrible thing? And he goes, dirt. Dirt? Is that all? He said, well, you said the outer weights quit working and the middle weight. Huh? And I said, yeah. He says, I know the symptoms. Your clock is dirty. And I got thinking. And he said, when was the last time you had it cleaned? Clean? Clean? That's a concept. I said, I didn't know you had to clean them. He looked at me and says, what are you talking about? You don't clean these clocks, they'll quit working. Did you know if you don't clean yourself up, you don't work right? Did you guys figure that one out? You don't function right when you're not clean. And he says, I have to go to your house. I have to remove your clock from its cabinet, leave the cabinet there. I have to bring it back to shop, and I have to clean it and look at the three major bushings in it and see how the bushings are. And I'll just put it back together for you. And once it's proven itself true, he says, I'll make an appointment, bring it back, and put it back into the cabinet. How much does that cost? When he told me, you're the son. No. I says, okay. And so he was telling me basically, according to an understanding of how a clock functions, you've got to clean it up. Well, how much more God understands how humanity is. If you don't learn how to put the wisdom of God into the heart of people, there's no way that they can, what? Restrain themselves for what makes them dirty. And then they don't function. We're of a generation now that don't have the full parents and that are being exposed to violence and death and sexual things constantly. And we want to sit there and figure out, we got a gun problem. We don't have a gun problem. We have a mental problem. And they're starting to see that. Next time we have a gun problem, we need to hang the gun. That's what they're saying. Put another law on there. My gosh, if they can't keep the first five, how are you expecting to keep the next five? It's the brain. It's nutso. You know, sometimes when I get, my anger gets in me. I don't know about you, but God now has stopped me right in the middle of my emotions, and He shows me my thinking. And I stop, and He says, do you hear what you're saying? Yeah. Do you like it? No, it's stupid. Your emotions will think the dumbest things and get a hold of you, and you, oh my gosh, I don't even want to go there. But anyway, so in Hosea 4:5, that's where I had you turn, Hosea chapter 4, verse 5, says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. This word destroyed is a very interesting Hebrew word. It's the Hebrew word dumma. Translated into English, my people are dumb. They're stupid, and that's why they're destroyed, because they have a lack of epinosis. And the Hebrew there is referring to a knowledge upon natural knowledge. If God didn't bring you into His kingdom to just stay on natural plane, God brought you into the kingdom to receive His wisdom from above, and only comes down in the form of the Spirit so that you can be set free from the stupidity that's in this earth. I hope I'm helping you here. I'm going to attend another church. Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Now, I want you to notice the verse before this. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give you delight to your soul. What in the world happened to these kids? I brought them to church, I raised them properly, and they turned into demons. The word revelation here, where there's no revelation, is the Hebrew word hazon, which means a revelation that a prophet received. And it says the people cast off restraint. They're left naked and they have no protection. They have no way of casting it off. And a servant will not be corrected by mere words, for although he understands, he will not respond. I'm going to tell you something. It takes a revelation to get us to understand a knowledge that surpasses what we're in. Now I'm going to close by reading you something out of the book called The Triumphant Church. Probably one of the best writings of Kenneth Hagin's out of all his books. Matter of fact, I was so thrilled when June had me listen to a testimony of a young pastor that is pastoring in Turkey. And what they did is they made this book, The Triumphant Church, available to all their converts. And they're in a Muslim country, 99.9% Muslim. And I can't go into the full detail of this particular individual because we were asked not to reveal it all. But one of the things I caught him saying was, he says, Tony, my heart goes out to even those who are in my body, that they would grow up into him. Yes. That they would grow up into him. Kenneth Hagin, back in 1952, had a series of visions where Jesus came and sat down and personally taught him. And he saw him with his physical eyes. He heard him with his physical voice. And one of the things that he taught him was about demonic powers. And in this third vision that he was teaching, I'm just going to read it to you from the book. Is that all right with you guys? There was a third part of the 1952 visions about demons and evil spirits and how to deal with them. In the third part of the vision, Jesus gave me further instruction about how to deal with demons. Here's what happened. As Jesus was talking to me in this vision, all of a sudden, a demon ran up between us. It looked a lot like a monkey, but his face was more human looking. The demon ran up between Jesus and me and began to jump up and down in the air. And as he did, he put out something like a black cloud or a smoke screen. And when he did that, it became hard to see Jesus. Then the little imp began to jump up and down and throw his arms and legs out. And in a high-pitched, shrill voice, he began to scream, yakety yak yak, yakety yak yak. The entire time this was happening, Jesus went right on talking. I could hear Jesus talking, but I couldn't distinguish his words. And then, because of that smoke screen, I finally couldn't see Jesus anymore either. This probably lasted a few seconds, but it seemed like it lasted many minutes. I thought to myself, doesn't Jesus know I can't hear what he's saying? Doesn't he know I'm not getting what he's saying? And then I thought, why doesn't Jesus tell him to stop? Doesn't he know I can't hear him? Finally, in desperation, I, without really thinking, I just pointed my finger at that little demon and said, I command you to cease and desist in Jesus' name. And when I said those words, that little demon hit the floor, kerflop, the black cloud disappeared, and he just laid on the floor shaking and trembling like a little wimp pup, crying and whining. And Jesus looked at him, and then I looked at me, and pointing to that little demon, he said, if you hadn't done something about that evil spirit, I couldn't have. Yeah. I said, Lord, I know I misunderstood you. You didn't say if I hadn't done something about that demon, you couldn't have. You said you wouldn't have, didn't you? And pointing to the demon as he lay trembling on the floor, Jesus repeated, no. I said, if you hadn't done something about that evil spirit, I couldn't have. I shook my head, thinking it was my hearing that was at fault. I said, something is wrong with me. I didn't hear you right. You didn't say if I hadn't done something about that evil spirit, you couldn't have. You said you wouldn't have, didn't you? He repeated the same words. No. I said, if you hadn't done something about that evil spirit, I couldn't have. I said, Lord, something is wrong. I'm not hearing right. And I repeated my question the third time. I think I know about how Jesus must have looked when he got angry and took the rope, that rope, and drove those money changers out of the temple. Mark 11:15. In other words, he said Jesus was looking at him like that. I'll never forget when he appeared to me. I started to look down and he went and reached his finger down and made me look right into his eyes. And he looked upset. I looked down. Now listen to this. He said, no, I said I couldn't have. I said, I can't accept that, Lord. That's a different than anything I've ever preached or heard. Lord, that upends my theology. You see, in religious circles, he has always prayed, God, you rebuke the devil, or Jesus, you rebuke the devil. And the Lord answered, sometimes your theology needs upending. I said, I've never heard anything like that in my life. Lord, I won't accept any vision or any divine visitation. I don't care if I am seeing you and hearing you. You talk to me as plain and as real as any man in the natural. I won't accept it unless you can prove what you're saying to me by the holy written word of God. The Bible says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Matthew 18:16. And then I won't believe what you are telling me unless you can give me three witnesses from the New Testament. And Jesus said, what am I going to do? You see, we live under the Old Covenant or the New Testament. I'm not so concerned about the Old Covenant. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe it, of course, and I understand its value. But I'm not trying to get back under the Old Covenant and live under its rules and regulations, because it was written for spiritually dead people. They weren't born again under the new covenant. We are made new creatures and our human spirits are recreated. Jesus smiled so sweetly at me and said, I'll go you one better. Better than three witnesses. I'll give you four. I said, dear God, I've wasted a lot of time. A lot of folks today are wasting their time. Then Jesus said, God the Father and I have done all that we are ever going to do about the devil until the time when the angel of God will come down from heaven and bind the devil with a chain and put him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Until that time, heaven is not going to do anything else about the devil. You see, God sent Jesus, and Jesus already did something about the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. Jesus defeated the devil in his death, burial, and resurrection. Colossians 2:15. Now the believer is expected to exercise his rightful authority over the devil. Amen. And then he gave the three or four examples out of the Word of God. But the point I want to try to get across to you, because we're running out of time, is I'm going to tell you something, people. Wouldn't it have been nice if Jesus delivered us from the influence of the devil? Well, I got news for you. He has given us deliverance from the influence of the devil. Call his holy written word. Amen. You have to know how to rightly divide it. And it takes the spirit of wisdom to come down from above, to enter into our hearts, and then begin to show us what truth really is. I'm going to tell you something. As wise as Solomon was, Solomon in all his glory did not have what God put into you. He put the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you. You've got the wisdom of God ruling and reigning in your heart. Now what the Holy Spirit's job is, Him being the representative of the ultimate wisdom, He has to hear what your searching mind wants to know. And once He hears that, then He will speak and give it to you. Natural man can't do this. That's why John the Apostle said, it is not given for a natural man to train you or teach you anything, but it belongs to the Holy Ghost. And so when you cry out to God because you've got a mind that wants to know what truth is, God will meet that answer. He's been doing it to me even more so lately. But I've had to get out of wrong teaching and the seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. I had to clear them out of my mind clearly and plainly so I could hear the pure wisdom of God. Next time you people are going through hell, at least your pastor taught you. You don't have to if you don't want to. But if you need our help, we'll come to you. But we'll deliver the same rights that you have for you by praying with you and over you. But I'm not going to leave you stupid. That will do my praying for you no good. I have to give you the Word of God because my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, we are in a time period that the Bible says that's going to be very obvious that people are going to run to and fro and they're going to look for teachers with itching ears. And you know what that's really referring to? They're going to be looking for forms of doctrine that will permit them to keep their own thinking. They only want to hear what they want to hear. I'm going to tell you something. There are some people I wouldn't go across the street to listen to. And yet they are exalted and glorified. Somebody asked me, why don't you go to so-and-so and receive from them? Because they give nothing that can develop me as a spiritual being. They can give me a lot of practical wisdom, but a lot of practical wisdom has an end to it, people. But the wisdom that comes down from above is for you for eternity.
Amen.
It'll last forever. You want to know what the wisdom of God is? Begin to search God with your mind. Get out of your laziness and get your mind active in the Word of God. And start asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to you and guide you into all truth. Isn't that, you know what all truth is? It's a territory that natural man can't find. Only the Spirit of God. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. Father, we will not continue to let our minds dwell on that which is not right, but that which is proper, that which is displays the love of God. That's what causes us to walk in your will and in your way. Father, you said the glory that I'm now in is far glorious than all the glory that Moses held in this earth. So, Father, if that is what you preferred over all that, then, Father, make it come alive in my heart so that I will not sin against you. Hallelujah. My people, thus saith the Spirit of God, I would that I could personally train you to stop feeding what is not good for you. My heart cries out for you not to be consuming things that are not good for you. For they rob you of your faith and they rob you of your victory. If you would learn to starve the desires of the body and fulfill the desire of your spirit, your lamp would grow very brightly, saith the Lord. And that is what I want my people to do in a dark and dying world, is for them to be bright, bright children of me. For in my presence there is no darkness but light. And I expel darkness. And I will clean your clock. Hallelujah. It came out of my spirit. That's pretty good. I'll clean your clock. Yeah. Praise God. Stand up, everybody. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for its power. I thank you because it's living, because the person who gave it is still very much alive. And for man to come up with God is dead is, Father, I pray for his soul. Because your Word is still living and it's still full of energy. Oh, that men would know where wisdom comes from. It comes from above, the wisdom of God. And so, Father, today, as your people prepare to face this week, Father, may you have the preeminence in their life. May they move out of laziness of the mind and begin to search and pursue you and seek for you. For the days are short, much shorter now than even when the church began. Father, that they would lead as many as they came out of darkness into light, into your marvelous light. Father, if they don't believe, may you give everyone in this building words that will bring them to light and not permit them to walk in darkness. Father, give them the words of light. The wisdom of God is light, Father. And in him is no darkness at all. Let your people have that hunger. You know, I sense in my spirit that there are several of you in this building. You have some major decisions to make. God can give you the answer to those decisions simply by just speaking a word. But if our mind is maintaining the wrong knowledge, that information can get very confusing. But if you let the voice of God come through His Word, you get your answer. You will get your answer. And the first area that I want to go to is this morning is that there be somebody here that has never said, Jesus, I make you my Lord, my Savior. Oh, without being saved, no one shall see God. Hallelujah. 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 If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you don't have that language that draws an understanding out of God, His commandments, and His cords that bind the commandments together. For line must be upon line, precept upon precept. You have to have that language of the Spirit. And if you've been struggling with healing, oppression, mental things, you can come forward and be free. Simply, just come into Jesus. So if you have any reason for any of those, please step out and come up now. Anybody? Hallelujah. Okay. You guys, don't forget your word connections. Connect with your word. God bless you. God bless you.